From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, botched surgeries. You won't believe it. Here's what's happening. The Iowa and Illinois health departments are saying that they are investigating a rise in infections linked to salads at McDonald's restaurants there. The Illinois Department of Public Health said it's been seeing about 90 cases, and the Iowa Department of Public Health said it has recorded 15 so far. Most of the people report eating salads from McDonald's in days before they became ill. No coincidence. The Kansas water slide on which a 10-year-old boy was decapitated 2 years ago will be demolished later this year. The water park in Kansas City had made arrangements for the 17-story slide to be pulled down after Labor Day. The demolition is expected to be completed in approximately 3 weeks. The little boy was riding when he went airborne and hit an overhead loop, and I'm not going to repeat the rest. The Thai youth soccer team, trapped for 18 days in a cave, were given drugs to control their nerves during the very perilous three-day rescue operation. Now, during a news conference before the final rescue of the four boys was complete, the final four boys, Thai Prime Minister said the boys were given an anti-anxiety medication to help with their removal from the cave. Well, I would guess so. A Louisiana teenager visiting St. Simon Island in Georgia miraculously survived, spending nearly 10 hours alone in the ocean after he likely got caught up in a rip current and dragged out to sea. 19 years old, he said he was sitting in shallow water when all of a sudden he was pulled out into the Atlantic Ocean. He said he tried yelling for help. Nobody heard him. He spent 10 hours in the ocean. When he got tired, he'd float on his back. Then he saw lights from a nearby Coast Guard ship, and he was saved. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said the economy is in a good place right now, but that an escalation in tariffs between the United States and trading partners could affect that success. Let's check in with Andre Eglishon, host and author. What do you think, Andre? Are we going to be able to get through this, Andre?
Well, George, I mean, yeah, I agree with Mr. Powell right now. I mean, you know, the economy did add 213,000 jobs in the June payroll. But and that even came, you know, even as, you know, employers were expecting a global trade war to actually get kicked off. But the issue is we are now in a full-blown trade war,
yep,
which threatens to interrupt the longest streak of job creation that we've had on record. I mean, you know, the unemployment rate has inched up to 4%. You know, it's only because the economy is healthy. You got something like 600,000 Americans that have joined the job force. But, you know, and it's even better for disadvantaged groups like African Americans. I mean, you know, our unemployment rate has fallen faster than it has for white Americans, believe it or not. I mean, it's amazing. The unemployment rate for black Americans is falling faster than for white Americans. But it's still, when we look at wages, you know, wages are still down from what they were a year ago. They're not meeting employers' expectations. But I'll tell you this, George. Now, when the July numbers come in, that's what I'm going to be looking for, because that's when we're going to see the full effect of the trade sanctions and the tariffs and all this stuff that President Trump has imposed. And don't get me wrong, I agree with him that we have been getting the shaft for a long, long time, George. You know I've been saying this on this program for years. But you have to be very careful about how the correction is implemented.
Andre's website linked up at our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. Thank you, sir. The U.S. Justice Department said it would appeal a federal judge's approval of AT&T's $85.4 billion acquisition of Time Warner, raising the prospect barely a month after the deal closed that it could be undone. What a mess that would be. In Hawaii, Kilauea has been erupting big time since May 3rd. It's been erupting for years, but it really started on May 3rd big. causing an incredible amount of destruction and resulting in the complete transformation of the tropical paradise there. Recent days have seen a series of collapses at Kilauea's summit and the crater equivalent to a magnitude 5.3 earthquake, and lava continues to flow into the sea. Dr. Tim Ball with us. Tim, when does it end? My gosh.
Well, it won't end because what's happening is you got new land being formed. You know, Will Rogers said back in the 30s, land's the best investment because they ain't making it anymore. That's not true. The Hawaiian Islands have been created over the last 5 billion years because as the crust of the earth moves across a hot spot, it burns through and it creates these volcanoes. And when you look at the age of the Hawaiian Islands, you go from about 5 million years with the oldest island in the northwest to the big island, which is now less or about half a million years old. So this is an ongoing process. It waxes and wanes. The good news about it is, of course, that because the crust of the earth under the oceans is different than the crust of the earth under the on the continents, it's made up of very different material. And as it burns through, it creates a kind of lava that's very low viscosity, flows easily, and doesn't create the volcanoes that erupt like Mount St. Helens. So this will be an ongoing process. It's been, as I said, it's been going on for millions of years, and you just have to accept the fact that the volcano is going to flow faster at some times and slower at other times, but it's going to keep on going.
Tim, what about the poor people who are all displaced from their homes?
Well, Chris, that's the problem. You know, it's like if you live in a floodplain, it's called that for a reason, and you should expect flooding. If you go to live on the Hawaiian Islands, particularly where the hot spot is sitting, if you don't want this displacement, go and live on the other Hawaiian Islands where the volcanoes are essentially dormant. So it's just on that one big island, and that's the price you're going to pay for living there.
Tim's latest book, Human Caused Global Warming, The Biggest Deception in History. Tim, thanks for being on the program, always. Hundreds of lawsuits claiming Monsanto's weed killer Roundup caused cancer were given the green light to proceed to trial by a San Francisco judge. The chemical glyphosate, an ingredient in Roundup, is at the center of the debate. Cancer victims and families presenting cases say Monsanto knew about the ingredient's risks for years, but failed to warn buyers. The U.S. district judge says, look, it's rather weak evidence that the ingredient causes cancer, but he says it's not junk science, and so the court cases will continue. In a moment, Jeffrey Smith joins us. We'll talk about this and other cases next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Well, you heard the story. A judge in San Francisco has given a number of parties the go-ahead to continue suing Monsanto over Roundup. Jeffrey Smith is an international best-selling author. One of his books includes Genetic Roulette. He is an award-winning filmmaker. His DVD is called Genetic Roulette, The Gamble of Our Lives. Executive Director of the Institute for Responsible Technology. And you know Jeffrey, of course. We've talked to him numerous times about GMOs and other issues. We're going to talk about this Monsanto suit for now. We're going to take calls next hour with you, with Jeffrey Smith. Jeffrey, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you so much, George.
This is an incredible, would you call unprecedented lawsuit against Monsanto?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if you think about it, this is just a single man, and his story is amazing, and I think people will really enjoy why this guy is the perfect guy to be the lead trial, because there's 4,000 other people that are suffering from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma or surviving when a family member died who are waiting to sue Monsanto. Now, if you think about the millions of dollars that can be awarded for problems, there was just a settlement with a talcum powder where individuals got tens of millions of dollars. If you multiply that by 4,000, we're talking about billions of dollars at stake for Monsanto. And so this actually is not only unprecedented, but it could really make a huge difference in the fortunes of Monsanto and Bayer, who just bought Monsanto.
Why would Bayer go ahead with that acquisition, knowing of the potential liability that could be in the millions of dollars?
Yeah, actually billions. I wrote a letter and had it published in a financial paper outlining a long description of not only this liability, but liability in livestock that they have been getting sick from eating Roundup Ready crops, from pollution in non-GMO crops, from the other issues related to GMOs and Roundup. And I tried to convince the shareholders before they voted on accepting the offer to Monsanto that it was actually a disastrous idea. And, of course, they went ahead with it anyway. And now I get to tell them I told you so if, in fact, this and other serious issues go forward.
So tell us about this former groundskeeper and this lawsuit.
Well, Dwayne Johnson, known as Lee, it's an amazing story. He's 46 years old. He's got two children, two sons. And he works in the Bay Area at the Benicia Unified School District as a groundskeeper. Now, when he started, he took a training and was told by the distributor of Roundup that it was completely non-toxic and they could actually drink it.
And he was healthy.
And he was healthy. His skin was fine. Everything was good. And in 2013, when he started, he had a problem where the hose disconnected to the tank and he got drenched by Roundup and it was all over him. And It was on his skin, his face, his neck. And then it even went through and inside his exposure suit. It turns out these Tyvek suits, Roundup with its surfactant, can go right through them, even though Monsanto says just use long pants, shoes, and socks. It's completely incompetent to protect it. So within about a few months, he noticed a rash on his knee, then his face, then the side of his head. And within 9 months, his entire body is covered, and the doctors are saying it's cancer. And that is within the latency period of this non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is what he's got. So he calls Monsanto, and he speaks to their service person, who then writes an email to Dr. Goldstein, who's Monsanto's medical director, saying he's just trying, Goldstein gets the email saying that Dwayne just wants to find out if this rash could be related to the exposure. And Goldstein's rate responds back, I'll call him. But he never called him back. Now, by this time, Monsanto had already accumulated lots of evidence that glyphosate and the active ingredient in Roundup is actually linked to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's in 4 of the 5 mice studies. It's very, very specific. And in fact, their own epidemiological study showed a 425% increase in the particular rare form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma that Lee Johnson had. But the guy never called Johnson, and so Johnson kept using it. And not only did he get was he spraying it every day, but he was using a backpack sprayer that's malfunctioned at least twice, causing it to be soaked through his clothes again.
Skin.
Yeah, it's all over his skin, and eventually he ends up with lesions all over his skin, over 80% of his body. And he calls back Monsanto, and he actually calls the number of the poison control center on the bottle and explains that he's now got cancer, and he describes all the things going on. And this was 2 weeks after the major World Health Organization had just declared that glyphosate is a probable human carcinogen. And he was trying to find out if there's any link between spraying and the cancer that he got, and even though there was a major announcement that glyphosate is related to cancer, they never called him back. So he continued to spray, and now he's supposed to be dead at this point. All the doctors saying he's living on borrowed time. Over 80% of his body was covered with these lesions, and the reason why this trial is going forward now is because he's going to die soon.
Yeah, he could even die before the trial ends.
Exactly. And he said if he had been told by anyone in Monsanto, he would have stopped using it. In fact, there was another chemical he was using that he heard was related to a cancer, so he stopped using it and restricted its use for his own purposes and also the fact that he was spraying school grounds. But they never, ever told him or anyone that Roundup could cause cancer, even though they had 20 to 40 years of data demonstrating tumors and then cancer.
Of course, the other companies never told anybody that cigarettes could cause cancer either.
I know. In fact, there were doctors, of course, advertising that cigarettes were good for you. And we have the same kind of, as Robert Kennedy Jr. calls them, psiostitutes.
Right.
In fact, Bobby Kennedy Jr. is also, he's attending.
He's the lawyer for Dwayne.
One of the lawyers, yes, absolutely. I spoke to the head of the law firm that's representing Lee today, and he said he was really happy that they have an opportunity not only to try the case, but also to get the Monsanto documents out there. We talked about that last time I was on the show, and I can refer to some of them that we didn't cover,
yeah.
Where it's basically blatant fraud, ghostwriting, manipulation, bullying. And there's something that I learned by reading the 112-page opening statement. Yes, I did that in preparation for our interview.
You're always a thorough, Jeffrey, always.
That Monsanto's code word is they want to maintain their freedom to operate. It's the code word that they have the ability to continue selling without any interference by regulators. So everything is matched up against their, quote, freedom to operate. And so we show very clearly in their secret documents, et cetera, that they have coerced science, covered up dangers, et cetera.
Now, this suit opens up the door for hundreds of other potential suits, doesn't it?
4,000 people are waiting in the wings. And it's interesting. There's a federal group. There's a state group in California. There's another group that's suing in St. Louis. And I'll tell you, once they start winning, there's going to be more people coming out of the wings. And not only that, but there's additional evidence, I'm told, that acute myeloid leukemia is also linked to glyphosate. And I know for a fact, in fact, we're doing an entire online series called Healing from GMOs and Roundup next week, starting on the 17th. People can register for it at healingfromgmos.com. We're going to talk about all the things that Roundup and GMOs can cause, not just non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, but it turns out that there's over 30 diseases in the United States rising in parallel with the increased use of Roundup, which seems like an enormous amount. We're talking autism, diabetes, all sorts of cancers, inflammatory bowel, even ADHD and anxiety and depression. But we show that all of the ways that glyphosate messes up the gut bacteria, creates leaky gut, messes up the immune system,
what a mess.
Mitochondria, it stops the ability for certain fundamental processes to go forward so that the neurotoxins like serotonin and dopamine and melatonin are messed up. It's so comprehensive in the way that it destroys our health that what I did is I'm interviewing 18 experts on how do we not just avoid GMOs, because that is buying organic, but what can we do to help the body repair from this damage? And so I'm thinking that more lawsuits will be created over the years as more evidence points to Roundup and glyphosate as linked to those diseases. And just one more thing, just let me say again for those listeners, if you'd like to listen to these 20 free videos, two each day for 10 days, go to healingfromgmos.com, healingfromgmos.com, and sign up, and you'll be sent links to listen to these incredible interviews that are not just about the dangers and not just about how to get better, but there's some profound evidence that turns on its head what we knew about health and healing.
In your opinion, will Monsanto settle these cases for a little quiet cash or take it all away?
You know, I don't know. I didn't ask that question to Michael Baum today, who's the head of the law firm. And it's a question that I should have asked, because as I was reading the stories about it, they were posing the same question. There's obviously an advantage if there's a big win in this current case. It should go about a month. And if there's a huge win, then that'll be a strong impetus for Monsanto to settle, because if the precedent comes and Lee Johnson, I mean, think about it. It's absolutely perfect. He got drenched soon after he got a disease that's extremely rare, a particular type of lymphoma that's not usually found in African Americans,
mm-hmm.
and it is found in high amounts in associated with Roundup in animals.
This is what I think is going to happen, Jeffrey. They will probably try to settle even before this case is finalized, because they do not want a guilty verdict on their record. They don't want the suit to prove that they're wrong and it causes cancer. So if they can settle, let's say they give Dwayne's family $5 million, if they can settle under the agreement that nothing is released and there's no guilt put on this agreement, they're going to do that with as many cases as they can.
I've seen that before by Monsanto. In fact, they have these ways of keeping people quiet. For example, they'll sue.
That's part of the agreement.
Farmer.
Part of the agreement.
Yeah. They'll sue a farmer claiming that the farmer bought and planted Monsanto's Roundup Ready seeds or canola illegally. They'll find out that they actually made a mistake, and so they may settle with the farmer, but the farmer can't describe
that. That's right. They always put that muzzle on them. Jeffrey, we're going to come back. We'll talk more. We'll take calls next hour. Hey, I want to talk with you about our Asheville, North Carolina show and tell you about 7 tickets that I want to move by tomorrow morning. 7 tickets. I'll tell you why in a second. Asheville, North Carolina, we're going to be there Saturday, August 25th, live stage show with all kinds of incredible people, including William Forstchen, author of The Final Day and One Year After, of course, and special things talking about the power grid. Paranormal investigator Joshua P. Warren will be there, a spiritual teacher, Vince Jenna will be there, live band, singing, meet and greet, everything you need, August 25th. You get your tickets by going to events at the top of the coasttocoastam.com homepage. It'll take you straight to the dwtheater.com website, and then you can get your tickets by putting my name in the search bar there. Now, there are 7 seats that I want to move. They're on the bottom level, 4 in the left front orchestra section, 3 in the center rear. And I want them gone by tomorrow. So go here. If you've been thinking about getting your tickets, pick up those 7 and take care of it. And welcome back to Coast. Jeffrey Smith with us. We're talking right now about the suit against Monsanto and the possibility that Roundup is causing cancer, specifically with this major case that's happening in the San Francisco area. Jeffrey, the trial itself, is it just starting now?
Yeah, the was just the opening statements a few days ago. It's actually only going to take about 4 weeks or so. I think they're doing a shorter trial because of Lee Johnson's failing health. They want it to be done before he dies, essentially. And they're bringing out a lot of Monsanto's garbage. There was a very interesting thing, because it's all about this non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's very, very focused on that. And at one point, there was a bunch of studies that came out that showed that glyphosate actually causes mutations that can lead to cancer. And so they decided to hire one of the world's best experts, Dr. Parry, to read the reviews and to become their champion, to go up against the regulatory agencies to tell them that there was no problem. So they hired Dr. Parry, who reviewed all the studies, and he concluded that it is actually a problem, that it actually creates mutations directly. It creates oxidative stress, which in turn creates mutations. And he pointed out that it happens in the laboratory. It happens in animals. And so what did Monsanto do? And you can actually read their response in these Monsanto papers. They say, well, it doesn't look like we'd be able to turn him around. We have to spend a lot of money, so he's not our guy. They received a report from Parry, and they should have passed it on to the EPA.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't show it to anyone. Instead, they ghost wrote a study, meaning their own people wrote a study that concluded that it did not cause mutations, it did not cause oxidative stress, and they put someone else's name on it, probably paying them for it, and which is what the Monsanto papers also revealed. And then that went out there, and that actually worked for them for years, because it was in the peer-reviewed published literature, pretending it was someone else's independent research, and it was all Monsanto's lies.
Now, in this particular case, the case of Dwayne Johnson, I mean, it was like he took a bath in this stuff.
Yes. In fact, he had this happen in 2013, where he was taking a truck with a 50-gallon drum full of Roundup, or its generic equivalent from Monsanto, and the hose came out and he was drenched. And so for hours he was drenched. But he also was spraying with a backpack. Now, because of the surfactant, which drives the glyphosate, the poison, into plants, it also drives it through skin. It also drives it through the Tyvek suit that he was wearing. So it's not actually a protectant. So it turns out that I was talking to a scientist who was just simply spraying Roundup, and it was getting through his boots and into his urine, and his urine actually was killing plants.
Oh, so unbelievable.
Until he stopped spraying Roundup, his urine was a weed killer. So it's hard to know what will actually stop this thing. I recommend anyone listening, do not use Roundup, but do not just throw it away. You should find out locally
what to do with it.
What to because it's a dangerous chemical.
You don't want to throw it in the water system, do you?
No, definitely not. In fact, it's contaminating water systems. The U.S. Geological Survey found in the Midwest, where it's sprayed on a lot of Roundup-ready crops, they found in 60 to 100% of the air samples and rain samples, they found glyphosate. They also found it in the surface water, and it's also found in some groundwater.
Jeffrey, what is it about the chemical makeup of something like Roundup that is so dangerous that it causes the potential, it has the potential to cause cancer?
Excellent question. Now we're getting into the deeper science. Thank you, George. It actually is a very interesting chemical makeup. It's a molecule is designed, it binds with all of the different minerals. And when it binds with them, it's called a chelator. It doesn't let go easily. And so it originally was not patented as an herbicide. It was patented as a cleaner, a chelator to clean boilers and pipes because it pulled the minerals off the walls of the pipes and boilers. Now, chelators are often, or I'd say antibiotics, are often chelators, and they chelate specific minerals. But glyphosate is a broad-spectrum chelator, and that's why it is so effective as a broad-spectrum antibiotic, and it's also effective as an herbicide because when it binds with minerals, it makes certain metabolic pathways not function because those pathways require minerals. And so it turns out minerals are really important for so many functions in the body. And when you look at under a microscope and you look at human cells, and there's tight junctions there, you apply a little glyphosate there, and the cells separate. Now, next week on July 17th, actually, I'm interviewing Zach Bush, who did this experiment and discovered exactly why and understood the chemistry why, and he found that there's a substance in 50 million-year-old soil, that if he puts it in the same petri dish, it protects against the breaking of the tight junctions, and so that's why he used it in his clinical practice to protect against this leaky gut that can happen from glyphosate. And so it's just one of many things. So the reason why it causes cancer, it's been discovered as a tumor promoter.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone already has cancer in their body, it can promote the growth of tumors. And also there was a study showing that because it's related to estrogen, it might promote the hormone-related cancers. And also I think that the mineral chelation has something to do with it. And the fact is, this is interesting, it's also about next week's healingfromgmos.com online series. I learned that when women have breast cancer, then the microbiome, the organisms in our body shift to protect us. And so what happens is there's bacteria that move into the breast to protect the breast. Some people would think it's an infection, but if you kill that bacteria, the breast tumor grows bigger. So if you're taking an antibiotic and you're killing the bacteria in our bodies and it preferentially kills the beneficial stuff, then you disable some of its functions, which are including creating the builders for serotonin, melatonin, and dopamine. It helps with detoxification. It helps with digestion. And it helps also even the liver to detox. When you put in the glyphosate, it can mess up even the liver's ability to clean out glyphosate as well as other toxic chemicals. And at very, very low doses, it creates non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which sets up a bunch of other problems.
Now, the opening statement was about a 100-page transcript. You've been able to digest that, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Anything special in it?
Well, you know, there's two people that come up that I'm really happy to hear. The first is Dr. Azevedo. And I interviewed him years and years ago as a former Monsanto salesperson. And he said that he was studying, he was basically lured into the company by a headhunter who told him about Monsanto, but then he started doing his own research and started reading the words of the CEO, Robert Shapiro, the CEO that fast-tracked GMOs and got it through without any required safety testing in the United States.
Right. He lived in St. Louis. Knew him.
Exactly. Yeah. And so Kirk Azevedo was very excited about what Robert Shapiro said. And when he decided to join Monsanto because of those words, and when he was in a employee meeting in St. Louis where he was talking to a group of vice presidents, he actually stood up and told the room why he was so excited that he was, he mentioned, he started quoting Robert Shapiro as turning fields into factories to clean up process wastes and help the world. And after the meeting, a vice president pulled him over and said, "Hey, wait a minute. What Robert Shapiro says is one thing. What we do is something else. He's the front man that tells a story. We don't even know what he's talking about. We're here to make money." And that was the realization that Monsanto's lines about saving the world were just facade. He then later realized that he was selling genetically modified cotton seeds, and that a PhD in the company told him that there were these new proteins, many of them that were being created as a result of the side effects of genetic engineering, and they were ignoring it. Now, at the time, he was aware of mad cow disease and other ways that this could potentially influence not only the cow health, but the health of those that drank the milk, and it was being sold and consumed by dairy cows right down his street. So he started raising the issue in Monsanto and trying to get people's attention, and he told me he was ostracized. He then tried to blow the whistle with commissioners of agriculture throughout California, with professors of agriculture. He said to me, their eyes just glazed over. He finally left the company saying, "I don't want to be part of this disaster," and then he became a healthcare practitioner. So he is actually one of the people that was deposed, and he's going to be in the trial. And then on the exact opposite, there's Donna Farmer. Now, Donna and I debated on the TV show The Doctors in 2015 after glyphosate was declared a probable human carcinogen by the International Agency for Research on Cancer. And she was saying, "Oh, it's so safe, and I can back it up as a mother, and I can back it up as a scientist." So when the Monsanto documents were made public, I searched them for Donna Farmer's name, and sure enough, incredibly incriminating statements. I called the doctor's producer. I said, "This woman lied on TV 2 years ago, because here in memos in private, she's saying we can't say that Roundup doesn't cause cancer because there's not enough research. She points out that the studies of dermal of application, which is what happened with Lee Johnson, where the Roundup may have caused the tumor promotion. She actually ghost wrote a study eliminating the link between Roundup and miscarriages, and then took Monsanto and her name off of it so no one could tell that she had an influence. There was point after point where it showed that Donna Farmer was basically acting as a shill and not a real scientist on behalf of Monsanto, and she has been deposed. So I can't wait to read the transcript of what she has to say under oath, being interviewed by Brent Wisner, who was also with me on The Doctors.
So, well, how does the Monsanto defend this lawsuit?
Well, it was pointed out by Brent in the opening statement that it's going to try and use confounding arguments, saying, there must be other things that caused the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And as Brent points out, actually, when they bring these things up, they don't have any evidence that these other things cause non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and there's no difference in the exposure between the experimental group and the control. In other words, it's completely a red herring. It's completely a whitewash. They're also going to say, well, the EPA claimed that it was safe. Well, it turns out that the same Monsanto documents showed that they had lapdogs in the EPA. And even the EPA, one organization in the EPA, it was pointed out in the opening statement, does not agree with the other organizations in the EPA's method of evaluating glyphosate. And it turns out that they didn't even use their own guidelines. They basically skimped and did not do proper science. And in one of the most powerful and strongest studies that show that dermal application or skin application of glyphosate caused non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, because there weren't enough rats, the EPA, or mice, the EPA said, we're not going to pay attention. But it turns out when there's so few animals and you end up with positive results, it's actually stronger evidence. You only would dismiss it if you're trying to, if you prove that there's no cancer. Well, with only 20 rats and there's no cancer, you could say, well, there's not enough rats to develop cancer. But when there's only 20 rats, and normally there's 50, and they develop, and 40% of them develop cancer, whereas the control group, there was none, that's one of the strongest studies in the world. And the EPA says, well, it doesn't meet our guidelines, and they dismiss it. So if you look at the details, it's entirely unscientific. But if you skim the surface, you can say, oh, the EPA determined that it wasn't cancer-causing.
Now, I understand that Roundup is sprayed on dozens of food crops. Is that true?
Yes. It's sprayed not just on the Roundup-ready soy, corn, cotton, canola, and sugar beets and alfalfa. It's also sprayed as a drying agent just before harvest on the grains. Oats and wheat. Sorry.
No wonder people may be getting sick and gluten intolerant. So let me ask you this. What are the possibilities if it's proven that this stuff caused cancer that has done in poor Dwayne Johnson? What are the possibilities of this stuff being sprayed on crops and then causing cancer to anybody who eats the food?
Yes, it's true. And it is a big issue. Now, I'll tell you, The strongest evidence in the research presented this week in San Francisco was from exposure of the spray to the skin. But most of the studies were feeding the animals, and there was a link to cancer. It wasn't as strong, but there was a link. But if you look at the rise of certain cancers in the United States since 1996, when Roundup Ready crops came on the market, which really skyrocketed the use of Roundup and glyphosate, there is a very tight correlation between the increased use of Roundup and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and as well as deaths from acute myeloid leukemia, thyroid cancer, liver cancer, kidney cancer, pelvic cancer. And we think that it's probable that Roundup is a driving cause. Now, here's another data point. That the urine of dogs show, according to just 15 dogs, so it's a preliminary evaluation, 50 times the amount of glyphosate in their urine compared to humans.
50
so
times?
They're getting it from their food, and they're getting it from lawns absorbed through their skin. Now, it turns out that dogs have the highest cancer rate of any mammal. More than one out of two dogs get cancer, and that's a recent phenomenon. So what the International Agency for Research on Cancer did is they classified glyphosate as a probable human carcinogen, but a definite carcinogen to animals. If you go to petsandgmos.com, you can watch a 10-minute film, which we just released, showing that when veterinarians and pet owners take their dogs off of Roundup and switch them to an organic diet, so they're getting rid of Roundup and GMOs at the same time, they get better from many diseases. They have more energy, and they, according to many of these people, they live longer. So I think one of the first things we can do is switch to an organic diet. And then if we don't respond right away, I'm again inviting your listeners, go to healingfromgmos.com, and you'll see that you can sign up for a free online series that starts on the 17th, next week on Tuesday, and it's about how to heal from the effects of GMOs and Roundup by the world's experts, totally free.
Just a few of the foods that it's sprayed on: alfalfa, almonds, apples, apricots, artichokes, asparagus, avocados, barley, beans, blueberries, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cranberries, canola, cantaloupes, carrots, cauliflower, celery, cherries, chicory, corn, cotton, cucumbers, dates, dried beans, figs, garlic.
I don't even list them anymore. I just say to people, eat organic. You see, the FDA and the regulatory agencies, they evaluate the residues of all the other herbicides on the human food. But because of Monsanto's influence, that's the most popular herbicide, and it's not evaluated by the U.S. government. We don't have a list, and so we don't know the relative levels. But we do know when independent scientists evaluate it that oats is extremely high, wheat is high, lentils are high, mung beans. And it's just, it's across the board.
We're coming back to take phone calls next with Jeffrey Smith. You can talk with him about the GMOs, genetically modified foods, or the suit about Monsanto and Roundup when we come back.